Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of June 13th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, very well, very well, very well. My infrastructure is sound, D.R. Mm-hmm. So, this past week, the man in Washington made the rounds of the country talking about the United States' new effort to rebuild its infrastructure. So I wanted to take a moment to think about that. I mean, infrastructure typically refers to things like airports, bridges, tunnels, waterways, all that kind of normal stuff, right, Dr.? Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, the infrastructure of the United States is pretty decrepit, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you could say that there's a lot of leaking in our infrastructure, so to speak.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a cloud over our infrastructure. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, I'm so much older than you guys. I remember them building the interstate highway system. It was a marvel, mm-hmm. right? It was everything blacktop, you know, and they had to explain to people what an off-ramp was. And how you mm-hmm. didn't back up on an off-ramp. I remember seeing TV shows saying, never back up on an off-ramp. Unfortunately, I wish they were still showing those programs today because I see too many people backing up on off-ramps. But anyway, President Covfefe was in Ohio talking about infrastructure in front of barges full of coal this past week. Mm-hmm. And while I applaud the idea that rebuilding infrastructure is a good thing because it puts people to work and it is a societal good, there's one aspect of infrastructure that I think is important to talk to, and certainly the people in D.C. don't want to talk about it now, and that is clean energy infrastructure, right? That mm-hmm. is things like, I guess in particular and most importantly, smart grid, DR. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever heard of a smart grid? Do you have any idea what that is?
Yes, definitely. You know, to basically setting up the infrastructure, so to speak, to allow for more clean energy to be put online, which is something mm-hmm. obviously that the current occupant of the White House doesn't believe in.
Right. I mean,
which is one of many problems with his infrastructure proposal.
Yes. Yes. Well, but I mean, you're right. We oftentimes talk about North Dakota being the Saudi Arabia of wind, right? That if you could just put up enough wind turbines in North Dakota, you could basically power the whole United States. But the problem is that there's no way to get that power to the other parts of the United States. And so you have to mm-hmm. build power lines. And of course, that's infrastructure. That's a public investment. Mm-hmm. And that's where the federal government should be stepping in, right? I mean, it's, mm-hmm. Of course, there's lots of issues with infrastructure projects. So we had a, in terms of environmental objections, which I fully subscribe to, right? If you're going to put a power line that runs 1,000 miles across the country, maybe we could put that power line right along the Dakota Access Pipeline route, since that seems to be well taken care of. But mm-hmm. I mean, there are environmental impacts of infrastructure projects, but we should be highly valuing building that kind of stuff. And I guess the particular example I'm thinking of is that here in Massachusetts, part of our attempt to be green has been to reduce our carbon emission. And one of the main ways we're doing that is by trying to import electric power from Hydro-Québec. Mm-hmm. Now, for those people who are not in Massachusetts, Hydro-Québec is probably, 500 miles away up in Canada, up north and to the west of us here in the New England area. And they make a lot of power, but bringing that power into the more populated southern part of New England requires new power lines. And there's been lots of objections to putting those power lines over the mountains in Vermont. Have you mm-hmm. seen anything about that, DR? Do you remember any of that discussion?
I definitely remember that discussion and just the whole controversy over hydropower and also the issue of how green hydropower is as well. That,
yes,
that was another
yeah.
point of contention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But well, so I heard a thing on NPR recently that said even today that while northern Maine, the state of Maine, which is, again, north of us here in Massachusetts, has a pretty good wind turbine set of wind turbine opportunities and wind turbine fields up there, they're starting to slow down in their construction of wind turbines because there's no way to freight get the power out of Aroostook County down here into the Boston area. And that just shows you why it's important for the federal government to build this infrastructure, in particular a new renewable power grid. I mean, I think the idea of a smart grid carries beyond linking the country together with better power transmission, but it also gets to the question of smarter, in quotation marks, more, I guess, more computationally powerful meters on your house, right? Mm-hmm. So that, so that in the future, for example, electricity could be priced by the hour, by the demand, right? So that at noontime, you would have to pay more for power, and at midnight you would pay less. Right? I think part of that depends on having a sort of a wireless electricity meter attached to your house, right? Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting topic. It's all about infrastructure, but it's also that immediately raises questions about privacy concerns, right?
So, exactly. I mean,
so there's all kinds of stuff. Go ahead.
It is a fascinating discussion, but there's a broader context here with regard to Trump, pushing this infrastructure thing right after he withdrew the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement, because if you had a different president with a different philosophy, that president could have argued that in order to make the United States Paris compliant, we would have to invest in a clean energy grid in clean energy infrastructure to sort of move the country off of fossil fuels and thus make the country both truly energy independent and compliant with Paris. So it's as though Trump is sort of 0 for 2 in terms of his logic. Well, 0 for more than 2.
Yeah. Get the drift. Yeah. 0 for, right. Yeah, so I think that I guess I was sort of toying around with the idea of, it's not clear to me if it's true, but whether or not things like electric vehicle charging stations are infrastructure, right? Because I could imagine the federal government spending lots of money encouraging the construction of a electric vehicle charging grid. And that would be, and then the other big thing that you would imagine the federal government would be interested in funding from an infrastructure perspective is some kind of electrical storage, right? Mm-hmm. Because when the wind turbines are running and, you know, it's late at night and nobody's using electricity, it's wasted. But we've talked before about these sort of huge industrial scale batteries to store all that energy so it can be tapped back out. In fact, now that I think of it, there was a post that I put up on somebody's Facebook page, but there's this idea that if you have a coal mine, right, a coal mine that is abandoned, what you can do is fill it with a great big water tank, and if you put another water tank at the surface of the ground, you can use your excess electricity from the wind turbine when it's turning and nobody wants the electricity to pump water up into the tank on the ground, and then when you need the electricity, you just let it flow down into the mine like a waterfall and drive a turbine to regenerate the electricity. So it's an electricity storage mechanism that depends on using Appalachian coal mines. I mean, that sounds like a win-win, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think that the sort of questions that come up when our fearless leader talks about infrastructure, I do think it's important that we have good air traffic controllers, and we don't want the Hoover Dam to collapse, and we want our bridges to stand up. But there's more to it than just the standard things that he's thinking about. And I would suggest that people expand their notion of infrastructure to include improvements for green energy. Right? I can't say we've captured them all, but there you go. Food for thought.
Exactly.
Right?
And how sad is it that when it comes to clean energy infrastructure, instead of making America great again, he's making America late again.
Bada bing, bada bing. There you go. All right. Well, look, we'll put up links to some of the stuff that we talked about at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. Please share us. And as I've been saying lately, if you have technical issues with the show, please let us know. We want to fix those. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and many other directories. You can, of course, find us on the venerable iTunes. Just search for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we will close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon, as well as building green infrastructure. Anyway, DR, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.